welcome to Hold My Breath. They had me introduce it. I'm Jeff Sheen. We got Matt Backus.
Hello.
Eric Monocle.
Hello.
And we have a special guest.
Oh, boy.
you're ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
So everybody, welcome Rohan Pottier.
Wow. I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for having me. Well, what's up to all the breadheads out there?
Breadheads. Breadheads. They're traveling festivals right
Now.
They're
going to the New York Stock Exchange. They're going to the Tokyo Stock Exchange. They're going to the London Stock Exchange.
They're camping out in front. They can't wait for
Dover. Waiting for that bell to ring.
Exactly.
Oh, man.
Come on, man. Let me ring your bell.
that is going to be the peak of this podcast is when you guys can ring the bell at
the
New York Stock Exchange.
When we started the podcast, I said, one of my goals, boys, I want to ring that bell one day.
Oh, man. I bet you could work it out.
I mean,
ringing
I
that bell?
So.
Yeah, you could be like that.
If Kevin from Shark Tank can ring the bell.
You're right, because he had no affiliation at all with the stock market.
Yeah.
I mean, Mr. Wonderful can ring the bell.
Right, right before he rang it, I believe they asked, what podcast do you do?
They asked him, then, who are you again?
Yeah.
Well, first, we got to be able to get inside. I've never been inside. So step one, get
my,
inside.
My dad, like back in the day, like this is like 20, 30 years ago when like, it like mattered to be like to like people like actually went onto the exchange and like waved the tickets or whatever. I have no idea how trading works, but there was like some kid on my baseball team and his dad worked at the New York Stock Exchange, and he gave my dad like a tour of the New York Stock Exchange, and he was like talking about it for like days afterwards. Oh. And I was like 10, I had like no idea what was going on, but he was just like, wow, this is where they trade, and then like the pieces of paper they're holding, and he like tried to explain it all to me, and I was like, oh, I'm glad that you were at the baseball game. Like, you know, it was like that kind of thing. And I'm like, glad you got something out of it. Yeah.
But can we get your dad on?
Yo, yeah, we could get my dad on.
I'm half kidding. Your dad would do it?
My dad would get like, you'd ask him like all these questions about specific companies, and he'd be like, no, guys. The thing is that you pick, it's like Warren Buffett always says, you, what's the thing? It's like, put all your eggs in one basket and then watch the hell out of that basket. That's what he would say.
I like that.
So it's like,
is your dad Jeff?
Yeah.
You take your goddamn eyes off that basket.
I'm Warren Buffett.
Yeah.
Wait, I like that.
Was this your friend that said it was so cool when he went there?
Oh, it was my dad who said it was so cool.
Are you not listening to your own podcast?
Yeah, you don't listen when you're
Jeff was like,
I zone in and
this
out.
This is what happens when you let Jeff open up a podcast.
Yeah.
If the first voice he hears is his own, he's out.
I got what I came for. No, Jeff, sit.
Jeff's refreshing his market ticker. It's 8:55 at night, and he's just refreshing, being like, what's happening? After hours trading. What's
after
happening?
After hours trading.
Yeah, that's where all the action is.
That's right. Yeah. Alibaba.
Do you own Alibaba, Jeff?
No, I want to, though.
Oh, yeah. I don't think you can, right? I don't know what that's
or like. Baozun.
I had Baozun.
Baozun's where it's at. China won't let Baozun fail.
No.
Oh, really?
I mean, when you're, because it's like all backed by, you know, right? It's all backed by China, and they're not going to let their own thing fail. So, but by buying Baozun,
nice.
You're basically supporting communism.
Oh,
am I wrong? Am I wrong or am I right?
No. That makes sense. You're supporting the Chinese government.
You're supporting the company. The company's propped up by the government.
Yeah, absolutely.
They get heavy subsidies. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, does the communist country get heavy subsidies?
Yeah, but they're leaning. They're getting into capitalism right now, which is why we're in this trade war.
Yeah, dip their toes.
Trade war.
Yeah, trade war.
Oh, yeah.
They've been dipping
their toes into capitalism for like 30 years.
Yeah, they're still dipping. Yeah. They're at the angle now.
Yeah, exactly.
We're angle deep.
I think we're a little deeper.
Wait, can we talk about a weird conspiracy theory I have that I can't back by any like evidence whatsoever?
Yeah, bring it on, hit me with
that. So, because, I mean, and, you know, the breadheads would really like this. You know how, like, there's all this, like, building in, like, Hudson Yards? There are all these, like, huge, like, whatever.
Oh, it's all Chinese nationalists.
Yeah, so that's what I think. I think it's
it is, yeah.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm.
So it's, like, all Chinese people because they don't, it's hard to earn interest on any investment in China, and it's hard to invest your money in general. They're just, like, we have all this money that we've made through the Chinese government or, like, through our connections to the Chinese government. So then we're just going to invest in these buildings in Hudson Yards and not actually, like, go to these apartments at all. Mm-hmm. They're just going to be standing there, and we're going to rent them out or just going to remain empty.
Until someone wants to buy them.
Right, until someone wants to buy them, and then exactly, and then we're just going to sell it and earn whatever, how much they're going to earn.
Yeah, but I did a show in one of those buildings.
Oh, wait, is that at that theater, whatever? There's like a theater there.
No, it was in like some weird like rec room thing that they had.
This is all the new developments that they're
yeah,
we're on
34th, yeah.
Yeah, he did it.
Thousand Yards.
Jeff headlined a sex trafficking convention.
Yeah. They heard you got laughter from the cages.
People were crying. Yeah. I was like, hey, what are the tears? Yeah, yeah.
There's no clapping. Like, they just kind of rattled their cages.
And then, yeah, Jeff was like, I'm a double talker. And they're like, oh, we get it.
I can relate.
Yeah.
All right.
Jeff,
we talked to the building manager.
Oh, yeah?
Person. One of the manager people, like, who's buying? Because it was, like, super nice. It was, like, real nice apartments.
They're incredible.
We're like, who's buying these?
Right.
And then the guy was like, yeah, honestly, it's most of this building is owned by Chinese nationalists.
Wow.
So it's all, like, yeah, like, the Chinese 1% is coming over here and buying these huge buildings.
What was the crowd like?
Chinese nationalists.
Chinese nationalists, yeah.
It was probably like half. I'd say I don't want to say Chinese, Asian, and half white.
Yeah, okay.
But it's only like 30-40 people.
Oh,
like
okay, 20, yeah, 20. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Damn, that's nuts. So yeah, that was my I genuinely thought I was like, oh, it just must be people from countries that were whatever. They can't invest this money there because of
that's 100%
whatever government.
True. I don't even think it's a conspiracy theory. It's got to be true.
Yeah, yeah. Why just that area and not also like all these buildings that are popping up in Brooklyn, all the new developments in Brooklyn?
Because the Saudis are buying them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were going to say because of the 7 train.
The 7 train.
I was like, oh, they want to buy near the 7 train. That makes sense.
The 7 train conspiracy.
Exactly.
That.
The 7 train ties into this, man.
Yeah, it goes right into Flushing.
Exactly. Right into the heart of it.
It is becoming a problem, though, apparently.
What?
Vancouver had to do with foreign investment. Because, like, now the rich can just, they have no nationality, really.
Yeah.
They can
just pop.
They just, for, like, you know, the wealthy people can just go from country to country.
Yeah.
So they don't really have an allegiance. And they'll just go and buy property somewhere.
Right.
It'll sit empty. They won't live there. They'll live somewhere else. They just stop by and visit.
Oh, like, yeah.
But still, so, like,
Vancouver,
still here.
Yeah, Vancouver just recently did, like, a foreign investment tax increase. Like, if you are going
to
buy stuff and not be in the city, you
we
have
should
to pay
do
more.
That. New York City should
yeah.
do that.
Well, they're trying to. So New York is actually, well, a little bit different in, when it comes to storefronts. So when you go to, like, Greenwich Village and you have all those empty storefronts, and a lot of times the landlords, they won't just get someone in there. They want to hold out for the highest possible rent, and they can take a tax loss on it. So it's actually cheaper to have no one in there. And de Blasio is trying to make it illegal for them to not rent out those storefronts. Because he says it makes the city look ugly, too, to have all
which
these.
Which it does.
Yeah.
There's parts of the city walking by, and you're like, this is, like, abandoned. But it's just, you know.
On 60 Minutes, they had this thing about, in China, like, they have these, like, towns. And they're ghost towns. The ghost towns of, like, luxury apartments, essentially. And, like, it looks like any resort town that you would ever go to in some utopian, whatever, vision that you have. But it's just empty buildings that people had bought because they thought that the real estate bubble was going to, you know, keep going higher, and they were told that they need to buy property. So they just built these things and no one lives in them because why would you live? They're just like isolated. They're not near any commerce or like any sort of industry or whatsoever. It's just simply so that you own a place. It's nuts.
Wow. Except for one guy who didn't get the memo.
Yeah.
He's just there being like, I've never met my neighbors or anyone in this building.
He's just living in a giant skyscraper by himself.
He's doing like the fantasy that we all had as kids where he's living in the toy store, like, but he's by himself, but it's just like a big apartment building. Yeah. And he's like, this is amazing.
He's still unaware. He puts flyers down in the lobby being like, get to know your neighbor party this Thursday.
Why doesn't anyone ever come?
Yeah, real estate, though, it's skyrocketing.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
That's why I say bulldoze Central Park.
Turn
it
into real estate.
That's real estate.
That's what they need, more buildings.
Yeah.
We talk about it often. This the cemetery next to the studio.
Knock it down. Put a tower in there.
Dig those bodies up.
The studio is in, what an area this is.
Yeah, we're in the heart of Wall Street.
Yeah, this is insane. Yeah. I passed by Zuccotti Park. I drove by Zuccotti Park
on my
Uber here.
I eat food in Zuccotti Park.
Oh, dang,
it's a nice little park.
Well, Matt Backus, welcome to the resistance.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Is this Occupy Wall Street
still? Yeah, you're just like wearing all these different brands and you're eating from like Panera and you're like, is this where I occupy Wall Street?
Are we going to take down corporate America?
Is that where they occupy? Was it Zuccotti
Park? Yeah, it was Zuccotti Park.
Oh, is this park right out here?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a nice park.
I had never been
there. Yeah, after we got rid of all the riffraff. It's nice now.
My goodness.
Yeah.
What a nice park to protest in, though.
That's why they wouldn't leave.
It's like apparently, I don't know if this is true or not. Again, you know, I should have checked before, but I think it's like owned you by like have. Bank of America or something. I should have, yeah. It's like something, it's like all these like banks like kind of own the park, and then the protests happened in like 2011, and then it was just like, oh, I guess we have to allow this to happen because, I don't know, because it would be weird for us if we just got rid of them like
that. I don't know if you know this, but Zuccotti is actually Italian for Bank of America.
Oh, yeah. Oh, hell yeah. Yeah. Matt did his research before the podcast.
Exactly. I came prepared.
It's not even that much of a park. It's more of a just a bunch of it feels cement like and a couple trees.
It feels like a plaza.
I honestly thought it would be bigger when I like drove by it and I was like looking at my map and I was like, this is Zuccotti Park. I was like, oh, I thought that there were going to be like...
grass.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no like grass.
Well, that's because it's owned by a bank and they're not sure what a park actually is. They're like, what is park?
Yeah.
What is park?
Oh, man.
They're Russian.
Yeah.
What
you know.
Is park?
Yeah.
Somebody had a tweet. I forgot who it was, and it was like, I forgot who it was. Oh, this guy Jason Gilbert or something. I think he's like a writer for a
TV
show.
We're gonna bleep
that. Yeah. Oh yeah.
No shoutouts.
No shoutouts. And then the tweet was something like, Mark Zuckerberg like swearing his hand on the Bible, and it's like, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth? And then Mark Zuckerberg is just like, well, you know, thank you for asking that, and that's a question that we've been asking at Facebook for a very long time, and we're very passionate about it. And I was like, oh, that's like every Wall Street person. Yeah.
Smooth talker.
Yeah.
So do you have a finance background?
Oh, right? Yeah, sort of. You know, I have a master's degree in economic history.
That's
kind of, right?
That's a lot of words.
That's kind of financy.
What is economic history?
It's the study of like history, but you use like, you know, whatever principles of like economic thought to explain like certain historical events. So
like the fall of the Roman Empire, you can explain that economically. Kind
yeah,
of.
You can like using and like the Great Depression or whatever. It's
oh,
like,
wow, that's
what
so
happened.
So you know a lot about the Great Depression?
I took a class on it. I don't remember a whole lot about it, but it's essentially like people think it's the government spending that like caused the Great Depression. And it was just like, oh, no, that's not necessarily the case. I got to think about it.
That's
but,
okay. I mean,
yeah.
That's a very hot, heavy question. I mean, that's a big, you know, I just
but
was curious.
We just basically went through, like, all these different theories of why the Great Depression happened. And then my professor was like, no, this is not it. This is not it. This is not it. And then he was like, the real reason is the reason I wrote a paper on. And then he, like, shared
of
the,
course. That's
yeah.
Why.
Then he was just like, yeah, the Federal Reserve. Failed to act. Yeah, the Federal Reserve failed to act, and then they actually made it worse, and then they made it better. And I was like, okay, cool. This is good.
What did Herbert Hoover do? Why is he such a bad man?
I went to Catholic school, so the answer is Jesus.
Yeah, Jesus
is
that's the
responsible
reason that he
for the
was
Great
bad.
Depression.
Jesus
Wait,
responsible?
What is the Federal Reserve?
The Federal Reserve, the central bank of the United States. So they make money. They print all the money.
It's just America Bank?
It's America.
It's the Bank of America.
Yep. The Bank of America, exactly. America the Federal Bank. Reserve is the Bank of America.
But it's not Bank of America.
They set all the interest rates where you can borrow from the Fed or borrow from like banks that banks can borrow from each other. So like when interest rates go up, I got to remember all this. So when interest rates are, so like interest rates are really low, like Fed fund rates are like super low. They're like 0%, 1% or whatever. And that means that you can borrow from the Fed at like
the federal government,
the Fed, yeah, the Federal Reserve.
Yes, that's what Fed means.
Yeah,
hold on, I'm learning that.
I like how he comes on. He's like, I have a master's in economic history, and Jeff's like, what's a bank?
Seriously,
a lot of people don't
these
know
are questions.
This.
These are questions that you should ask when we don't have a guest. Just ask me.
Yeah.
I know.
Oh yeah, you explain the Federal Reserve, man.
He just did it, but I knew what it was.
Continue.
It's Jesus. Basically like. I mean, I'm going back here, but and if I'm wrong, someone please correct me because I would love to know it too. But essentially, it's like right, they set the interest rates that you can borrow from the Federal Reserve, who basically print money, and then the rate that banks can borrow from each other. So
it controls what banks can do to each other too.
Yeah. So like how much that they
so
can.
So it's just a magically powerful business.
They're like
the
top
people.
Bank. They like regulate. It's like a big bank that regulates the other banks.
Yeah, they regulate the. I mean, ideally that's what they do.
That's what their goal is.
That's their goal is, but I don't know if they always are doing that.
Is
but
this why they're in like they're always in conspiracy theories, right?
Yes.
Conspiracy
One hand washes the other.
Well,
you know?
The Federal Reserve.
Right. It's because the Fed, it is like, it basically like the way that we like make money through this thing called fractional reserve banking. Ooh. That is like basically creating money out of nothing. It's basically like the way that we make money is that you, if you want to borrow, you know, whatever, get a mortgage for a house, you borrow money from a bank, right? at whatever, 3% interest, 10% interest, however much you get it for. Then it's really high.
10% is high.
I think interest rates are like
I get a second opinion.
4% or whatever, right? And then you pay the bank back at that 4% interest, and then that creates more money. Mm. So then, ideally, the way that money is created is that the interest rate that you're borrowing from the bank or the bank borrows from you, that's how they make their money.
It's just making magical
and they're just
money
making
out
money,
of money
out of nothing. And then that starts with the Federal Reserve, where you have whatever, they have their interest rates, and then you can borrow from the Fed. So, like, during the 2008 financial crisis,
they had to raise the rates because they need to make more money.
No, the Fed lowered rates so banks would borrow more, so that banks would loan out more money to people so to create more money and to get the economy going again.
Oh, I see. Okay, now I see.
No, this is perfect.
Yeah. That's the
that makes sense.
That's like that's theoretically how this all works.
And that is why all the conspiracy theorists are always like, the Fed, like, they don't trust the Reserve at all because they think it controls everything.
Right, because they control these interest rates that you can, that banks can borrow from each other. But I think that that only applies to money, like, to federal money. Because, like, if a bank, you know, if a bank wants to charge you for your student loans, like, whatever, 8%, they can do that. The Fed doesn't necessarily, they should be regulating it more, but they don't, like, regulate that interest rate.
And that's what Sheen was, or no, not Sheen, Jeff R. Curry, we had him as a guest a couple weeks back, was talking about refinancing. You can't refinance loan from the government.
No, you can't. Like, you can't refinance a private, I mean, you can, I guess. I think it's very hard to refinance from the government and from private people for various reasons, depending on how much you're paying or how much you're not paying.
Fort Knox is empty.
Fort Knox is empty. It's all a conspiracy. It's all, like, I guess, whatever it's called. Because exactly what you're saying is, like, there's money from, like, thin air, essentially. But the Fed, it does, like, monitor how much is going out and how much is coming in and, like, what interest rates are at. And, like, they're not, like, completely incompetent. They, you know, for whatever people say, I don't think that they were, like, the number one cause of the financial crisis or anything like that. By keeping interest rates too low and then creating all this, money.
There's a lot of subprime.
That's a lot of subprime, but there's a lot of money for subprime because of the...
You watched The Big Short?
Yeah. Oh, that a great movie that was. I read the book and I watched the movie.
I want to read the book. I've only seen the
book is very good. Yeah.
The movie's great.
The book is like... The book is really, really good. Yeah. Probably...
When they show... What's his name? Christian Bale for the first time?
Oh, yeah.
Great.
Yeah. And the guy in the book is also like... And then
Bane shows up.
I'd like to point something out, and this is a little inside baseball because this is a conversation we had before we started the podcast. Uh-huh. But we recorded in this building, and when Rohan was coming up, normally the guy at the front desk makes you sign in, or I have to come down and get someone because I work in this building. But Rohan was explaining that he was going to record a podcast, and the guy asked, "Do you review books?" And now we are reviewing
books. I forgot
on this
about
podcast.
That.
Oh my gosh.
The Big Short, 5 stars. Read it. You'll never look at rating agencies the same way again. Boom. We did it.
Yeah.
You can tell the door guy. Yeah, we reviewed a book.
Yeah, absolutely. That's amazing. Circle.
Subprimes.
Oh, man. You know what's crazy? I used to just know so much more about this. Like, if you had had me on this podcast like 5 years ago, I could have, like, talked your ass off about this stuff. But now, like, I don't work in, like, finance anymore. So I'm like...
I just learned about what the Federal Reserve does.
He owns a bunch of stocks, too. You believe
that?
Yeah.
Oh, but that's the thing, too, is that about, like... I don't know if you've talked about this ever, but it's, like, there's... Every year in, like, the Wall Street Journal or, like, some major financial publication, it's, like, if you invest in a mutual fund that is, like, actively managed, meaning, like, there's someone who is, like, sitting there and picking stocks for you and picking funds to put in, you actually end up losing more money than you would if you just invested in, like, the S&P 500 and, like, waited, like, a year.
Yeah.
Because no one knows what the hell they're doing. Or everyone thinks they know what the hell they're doing, and they think that they're better than the market.
Right.
But really, like... 95% of the people do not beat the market.
Everybody
the other 5% start a podcast.
Yeah, exactly, baby. Everybody in this room is currently beating the market.
That's right.
Yeah.
This is a brain trust. We're experts.
Right.
I got money in the market.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But when I first started investing, everybody was like mutual funds. And then I talked to a couple people that were saying S&P 500 because that's...
Well, just don't invest in anything that's actively managed. Just put it in an index fund, like an S&P index fund or like a Dow Jones index fund.
Yeah,
because
yeah,
like
a Vanguard or something.
Yeah, Vanguard. Yeah, right. These like low fee interest. Yeah, exactly. These like low fee index funds that pick a specific set of stocks that are like that mimics the market or whatever. So. Yeah,
I do have a story on one of the stocks that you bought that you busted out on.
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, yeah. Let's hit it.
MoviePass bought out MoviePhone,
Whoa.
I didn't even know movie phone was still a thing.
How much did they pay for it?
But they paid $23 million.
That's where my money went?
That's where my movie pass subscription goes. You should do this. Every episode should be over under. How long is movie pass going to be around for?
So this says AOL, which is now part of Verizon. So Verizon bought movie phone in 1999. How much do you think that they paid for movie phone in 1999?
Oh. I'd say 2.5.
$2.5 million?
Yeah.
What?
Well, they're selling it now for $3.
They said they're selling it now for $23.
$23. Yeah.
So I think they bought it for $100 million.
$388 million.
Holy crap! Wow, that's insane.
That is.
They bought it for that much?
Wow. Who got that money?
That was in 1999.
But who did they buy? Who got that money?
So Verizon bought MoviePhone back in 1999.
From MoviePhone?
So now MoviePass is buying it from, I guess, Verizon for $23 million.
Wow, that company is so stupid.
Yeah, but what data are you getting from MoviePhone?
Who calls the MoviePhone?
Yeah, who calls the MoviePhone? Yeah, exactly. Who's using MoviePhone in 2018?
Apparently they have an app now too, but I don't think they
use it.
Why would anyone use it?
I go to MoviePhone.com.
For listings?
Yeah.
You do not.
I just, yeah, I go to moviephone.com.
Oh my God.
You actually type in moviephone.com?
.com, yeah.
Wow, moviephone.com.
You don't even have the app. You just go onto your browser and type moviephone.com.
I thought you were kidding when you first said
that. That's insane.
No, I'll go to moviephone.com.
What else do they do?
You can just put in the zip code and it just gives you the theaters in the
area. So does like Fandango.
Yeah, right.
Or you just go.
I don't go to Fandango. I go to MoviePhone.
He's
got brand loyalty.
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
So does Fandango, nerd. It's the same stuff. Just has phone in the address.
Yeah, it's just got a dumb name. It's like, I use MovieFax.com.
MovieFax.
I say, hey, I'm going to go see a movie in a couple weeks. Can you fax me some times over?
Well, what do you do? Do you go to Fandango, too?
No, I just Google, like, movie times, and I find the theater I want to go to, and I see what's playing.
To MovieFone.
Yeah.
Or you Google whatever movie you want to see, and the theaters will pop up, and the show times will pop up.
Or you just go to MovieFone.com.
That's an extra
and
step.
And it does the same thing. No, you're getting the extra step.
I heard MoviePass is like, I was like, read some article a while ago. I was like, because I want to use MoviePass forever, but I'm afraid they'll never be in business after like June. So I'm like, why?
Yeah, they're bleeding money. They've got to be.
Exactly.
Stock is cut.
You told me about that. Yeah. You got screwed. And they were like, yes, we are hemorrhaging money, but we've collected a lot of data on our MoviePass users. And we're hoping that if we endorse certain movies on MoviePass, that'll show us like, and people go see that movie more, it'll be like, we are a tastemaker, like a brand. Yeah, brand influencers. And like, that way, we can get more money to come in. And I was like, cool, what is another way that you can make money?
Yeah.
Well, with MoviePass, I do think that the strategy for it isn't bad, because I didn't realize, I was actually having a conversation with a couple of people, and I didn't realize you had to buy the entire year.
Up front. Mm-hmm.
You have to buy it up front. I thought you just did it monthly, so most people aren't
that's
getting.
Most subscription services, though. Not to brag, but I'm on Tinder now.
Ooh.
And I decided to like, whatever, pay for the premium.
Tinder Pro, yeah.
Tinder Pro,
treat
Tinder
yourself.
Gold or whatever. Yeah, I was like, you know what? I got a little bit of cash.
Yeah, treat yourself.
I'll throw it. And then they were like, here, it's like, $100 for the year. And I was like, okay.
$100?
Yeah.
My God.
Damn, that's but a dollar
now I can
per
see,
leg.
Now I can see.
He gets laid 100 times.
Damn, dude, that's a new goal.
I gotta have sex 100 times or this isn't worth it.
Yeah, like those people who do like the Instagram thing where it's like 365 days of pictures. That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
With Tinder.
Yeah, good luck to you.
Oh, man.
Also, you have to, but that doesn't count the money you spend. Well,
I hope she holds my bread, if you know what I'm saying. Jeff?
Introduce
Jeff. Jeff's sitting with, you can't see it because it's a podcast, but he's just sitting with his arms folded.
He's always got positive body.
He's like, yeah.
You two perverts.
He's on his phone right now.
What do you mean, you two perverts?
MoviePhone.com.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's his homepage.
Yeah.
MoviePhone's fine.
I wonder what MoviePhone has to say about.
That's just
because
you sound like the MoviePhone guy. MoviePhone's fine.
I wonder what data they have on me that they're selling.
Well, let me look. I sent it.
Yeah.
They sent it over here.
But yeah, that's oh man.
On paper, it's such a good idea,
dude. And yeah, but they must be spending so much money on like buying tickets and like. I was hoping that we're not screwing movie theaters by using MoviePass, and we're not, because they actually go to like whatever the website and they buy like tickets in bulk and then they just give them away or whatever.
I
went to Alamo Drafthouse to see Isle of Dogs, and that was like a $17 ticket, and I went Joel Kowski, shout out to former guest Joel, and he went with his MoviePass and walked right in.
Yeah,
and I paid like $17.
Yeah, man, you know, Alamo is really hard to use MoviePass because they don't have big theaters.
Yeah, somebody told me AMC's not taking it anymore or something.
That's
what I heard. It could be wrong. That's hearsay.
Dang.
Jeff went to a movie with someone today who had MoviePass, and they just left in the middle of the movie.
Somebody
walked out on you?
Yeah, well, no, Irene had an appointment. She's like, oh, I gotta go.
What movie did you guys see?
I was like, well, we're gonna see this movie. She's like, oh, I'm not gonna be able to finish it, but I got MoviePass.
What movie did you guys go see?
Ready Player One.
Oh, yeah, that's a movie to walk out on, though.
Boom. Bang, 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 bang.
You didn't like it?
I have no desire to see it, but everyone said it was bad.
Who's everyone?
Let's just
say the tastemakers.
No, well, yeah. Well,
who are these?
Well, we want to keep names anonymous. We'll just say G Asmus.
Asmus.
Yeah, Asmus said it was bad.
Asmus just watches Asmus the said Eagles it was documentaries like all the time. He watches the same movie every day.
Asmus Eagles said, like about the team or the actual Eagle.
About the band.
Oh, no, that's even... bad for forgetting.
Shit, not in Ready Player. I thought it was a fun ride.
It looks awful.
It was fun.
Yeah, and I never read the book, and I don't... And, like, it looks like a bad Tron. Like, that's what it looks like.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you haven't seen it, so I don't have to listen to any of this.
No, you
so
do.
If you go see it, and you develop a real, you know...
And we're only 25 minutes in, so there's going to be a lot more of this.
Yeah. Spotify. Anyways, we were talking about Spotify before.
Fun.
Yeah, Spotify did their IPO on April 3rd.
That's like 3 days ago.
The 4th, the 5th.
And they're down already?
They're down already. Opened at 166, down to like 145.
Oh, I have you guys know what the CFA exam is? Like the it's like basically like you got a CPA if you want to be an accountant, but if you want to be like a financial manager, right? If you want to be
be a big swinging dick.
Yeah, if you want to make like $200K a year and manage like people's money, you get a CFA, and it's like really hard to get. Like maybe like out of like 100 people, maybe like 10 people get it. And I took like the level one exam, and I like failed horribly. Like I studied for like a year, and like
it's real hard, huh?
Yeah, it's like so.
Do you remember any of the questions?
Yeah. So, no, not at all. But it's like about ethics, and it's about a lot of stuff that I like should have done better on, and I didn't. And
you failed the ethics.
Yeah, the ethics part of it. I was just like, get your money and run.
Yeah.
But essentially, it was like the one thing I did learn from it is that like if you do an IPO, right? So Spotify did an IPO, and it debuted at like 180 or something, and if you go down, if the price goes up, the investment bank is like, if the price goes up, then the people like Spotify are like pissed because they're like, hey, we could have got way more money for this. And then instead we like went up from like, we could have got way more money initially from it, because when it goes up, right, it's on the secondary market, so Spotify doesn't really get any money from it.
Right.
So like, it only affects how much money they can get in the future if they do another IPO. But like, if it goes down, then they're like, woo, we got more out of it than we ever expected. And all the investment banks are like, fuck,
right now, the fact that it's down, Spotify is happy.
It's good for Spotify. It's like,
the investment banks overvalued it.
In the long run, it's not good for Spotify because, yeah, exactly. It was overvalued, and in the long run,
like
it's bad.
Way overvalued.
Right, but now, initially, when whoever bought it at 180 and Spotify got all that money, they're like, all right, initially we did good, but now it's like, okay, right. If they go up, then it's like, oh, we got screwed because we could have got more money for this. But if it goes down, it's kind of like, well, at least we got a little bit out of it.
Right.
Yeah.
Good for Spotify.
Yeah.
Even though I don't like them.
I don't use them.
Oh, you don't use Spotify? What do you use?
I use Apple Music.
Nah, I use Spotify. I was an early user back in my Europe
days. I got Apple Music as soon as it came out. Nice. I just had a bunch of like my stuff already. I had always used iTunes, so it's just made more sense.
No, I understand. That makes a lot of sense.
Seeking Alpha says that Spotify...
Seeking Alpha
are already overvalued.
Oh, nice! You read Seeking Alpha?
I used to read that.
Yeah, there used to be a guy on there that my friend would always. I'm thinking of a different website.
What?
But
what, Monocle?
Nothing.
You laughing at the Seeking Alpha?
I'm laughing at Seeking Alpha.
Why?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. There's something about both of you in unison going that made me laugh.
I never know who to
are you two reading Seeking Alpha alone without me?
Yeah, we're reading Seeking Alpha.
Hey, it's, my bread and butter.
Yeah. I never know who to trust on those websites because it's all like people who are just like, whatever. They invest their own money and they're like, full disclosure, I am like long this position on this stock. So
yeah, yeah. You should, if you read, I'm like,
yeah, yeah. And I'm like,
full disclosure, I live in my parents' basement. Yeah, yeah. I have no money.
Yeah.
I have $30,000.
Yeah, but I am long on MoviePass, and so.
Yeah, that was me. I wrote that. I noticed I haven't posted in a while.
Yeah, hell yeah. Wait, do you actually post on Seeking Alpha? That
no,
would rule.
No, I don't post anything. Yeah. I post on, there's a couple of Reddits I follow that I post on. Nice. But it's mainly just making fun of people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We should post on Seeking Alpha.
Why? I have nothing to offer them.
You got something to offer. You got thoughts. You learned
no,
something.
No, you can promote the pod on Seeking Alpha. That's yeah. That's your thing. You just say, oh, you want to hear about people talking stocks?
Hold I have brain. Promoted us on Reddit a couple times. Like, there's been a couple people that are like, are there any podcasts about? And I'm like, I have one.
Yeah.
And sometimes they're like, this is great. I need a break from all the boring finance. I'm like, you
yeah.
got it.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys don't have those sound effects like Jim Cramer does.
No. We're finance, but we're.
I try to do sound effects. I hate them.
Not
yeah, we're not a fan.
No.
Yeah, I hate them.
The producer hates the sound effects. Real surprise.
Oh, you keep calling Eric the producer.
Hey, I'm in the captain's seat here.
Yeah.
He's a host and producer. I'm just a co-host. Yeah. I don't provide much.
Hey, Rohan, what are your thoughts on capitalism?
Oh, capitalism?
How do you feel?
Don't you love it?
Oh, yeah. It's the best. I mean, really, there's nothing wrong with it, and there never has ever been anything wrong with it. And
I can't think of anybody that would say they dislike it.
Yeah, same here. And why? Yeah. Why would they dislike it?
There we go.
Boom.
Perfect answer.
Yeah.
We knocked it out of the park.
Now we're the leading podcast of the alt right now.
Yeah.
Leading investment podcast of the alt right.
Hey, we made a killing on those tiki torches, all right?
Hey, you know?
I invested early.
Matt just has a bunch of tiki torches in his basement.
Yeah, I invested. I got in.
Yeah.
Lowe's. Did you see the Lowe's? The CEO of Lowe's stepped down and their stock prices shot up.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
So the CEO stunk?
The CEO got quit or whatever, and then the stock jumped up like 5%.
Really? Bad CEO?
Yeah, I guess
people didn't like him.
Didn't like him. People don't like him.
That happens. Yeah. That's been known to happen.
Absolutely. Yeah,
it always has some effect, either a drop or a rise, I guess.
Yeah, but you think it hurt his feelings when he saw that the next day?
No, he probably actually made money because he...
Oh, you're probably right.
Because he had options and shit.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of options, I haven't done it yet. I'm going to wait.
Oh, dude, you do not want to get into options.
I know.
Speaking of options, Rohan's got options because he just signed up for Tinder Pro.
Whoa.
I just got the thing that on Robinhood to trade options and puts.
Holy shit.
And stop puts.
Dude,
and
I do
like
not
that.
Understand. I mean, I understand an option, but I do not understand how they are valued or like what to do.
I've
with
been
them.
Reading and watching YouTube videos. I'm not gonna touch it. But
you can
been,
also
like,
only
scary.
Apparently
oh, yeah.
you can
it's
only
gambling,
buy
dude.
You can only buy options in like 10. So like what I thought was that like you could have an option on a single share, but you can't. You have to have options on like. Mm-hmm. 10 to like 100 shares or something.
Oh, and it's like it's based on time.
Yeah,
and you have to hit percentages before the time elapses.
Oh yeah,
it's
because
worthless.
Well, yeah, that's like if you're really doing it properly. But if you just like buy the options, if you're like whatever a share is worth $1, and then you buy an option, it's like $100 or whatever. Then you don't have to worry about that stuff because you're not actually borrowing money. But a lot of people will borrow money to buy options.
Right.
And that's when you have to worry about the percentages and stuff because
right,
essentially
cause that's when you owe people $5,000.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
What's an option? It's not a share.
It's no. So it's basically it's the option to buy at a certain price. So like you buy it.
No, Matt. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead, Matt.
No, I was gonna say it's like so if you opted buying at this price,
right.
But it could go up or down.
By what?
By shares.
Of what?
At a locked price.
Stock.
At a stock.
So if I wanted to buy a share of Spotify.
Yeah.
For
so there's so you'll see the option. Right. So
there
might be an option for it's at 160 now. There might be an option for like 158.
Okay.
So you like. Buy the option at 158, and then you can keep the option, and then there's a date, right? So there's a date where you have to where the option expires, so you can no longer, you know, sell. You can no longer buy at that price.
Oh, okay.
So what you do is that you wait and you see the prices and they go up or down or whatever. So let's say that the price goes up of Spotify to like 168, your option to buy at 158, the value of that goes up by a lot because people are going to want to have to buy at 158.
Yeah.
But if it goes down, if it goes down to like 150, then your option is literally worthless.
Who invented this?
People on Wall Street to make money for other people.
That's where you make real money. I'm telling you.
They just made this weird thing you can do?
I've been watching YouTube
videos.
This
is like a weird
casino.
Dude, it's insane, and I don't understand it. Like futures and options.
It makes me so nervous.
Yep.
If anybody just listens to this, wants to email in and give me some tips or help,
yeah,
please.
Do that.
I'm not going to do it until I'm 100% ready, and I'm not ready. But I'm learning. I'm trying to learn.
Oh, man.
You know who's good at it? People who live... in empty buildings.
Yeah,
those,
yeah, in China, right.
Yeah, yeah, if there are any
nationalists, Chinese nationalists.
I was going to say, if there's any Chinese nationalists listening to this, if you're wiretapping or anybody who's listening to this anyhow, please
so
help me out.
You can just invent random things like this in the market?
That's how mortgage-backed securities got invented. Someone was like, what if we took all these mortgages and we pool them all together and then we set a value based on the interest that it pays and the value of the actual mortgages itself, and then...
How do you do that?
I have no idea.
How do you invent something? Is there somebody that has to be like, all right, you can do it.
The SEC.
Or they just do it. SEC. Yeah.
Well, the SEC is like 10 steps behind all these banks. So the banks are like, we're going to do it because it's going to make us this margin. It's going to make us money.
And then the SEC
money.
Is like, you can't do that. And they're like, it doesn't say we can.
Yeah.
And the SEC is going to be like, well, we got to make a rule now we can't.
And then it's
so
like...
So they just make these weird little things you can do to make extra money.
Yeah.
Oh, that's where all this stuff comes from. Options, yeah. Some weirdo.
It's
made
all
it
these
up.
Like banks that because like loaning, like you know, it's great to earn like 5 or 6% on a mortgage, but like ultimately, you could earn way more than that with other things. So,
yeah, like I've seen people posting things on, like they post a screenshot of their like what's the graph of their portfolio,
mm-hmm.
and it'll be like, you know, like little like blips, and then it'll just shoot the way the fuck up, and the caption's always, you can pinpoint exactly when I got the ability to trade options, and then their portfolio jumps like $5,000,
right?
Which is like these people that know what they're doing. That's not
but also like their portfolio jumps $5,000, but like, and they're like whatever, they're long or short on these options, but they don't tell you how like liquid their portfolio is, because like they could sell all of that, but then they actually only made like 10% instead of 20% because they owe so many people so much money.
It's true.
So you like don't actually know. I mean, I don't know. I don't always trust those things. Because,
well, I agree.
Yeah,
you have
yeah.
to be skeptical. And I've seen some people that are like that post those things, and it's like, oh, you're only up $110. Like,
yeah, right. Exactly. Like, exactly, because of whatever you're borrowing to buy those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like you did something good, but it's not like you really beat the system.
Yeah.
Also, they borrow money to buy options.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because like I was saying, because like if you can't, so like if for Spotify, right, you couldn't buy like one share, an option for one share. You'd have to buy it for 10 shares or like 100 shares or something. I don't know how there's always sold. So like that's like $1,000 at least. So like even, I mean, for a, you know, like a lay casual investor like all of us, it's just like, that's
whoa! How dare you come in here and disrespect me?
Yeah. I'm not casual.
Yeah. How dare you call me lay?
Yeah. When I can't write bits, I spend hours on this.
Exactly. Didn't you hear I read Seeking Alpha? Yeah. Does that mean nothing to you?
Yeah, this dude reads.
That's how. But anyway, yeah. So you have to like borrow, and if you're investing at like a bank, like at such a large scale, it's like, holy crap.
Huh.
Well, I mean, I don't want to wrap up, but we are coming almost to the end. Should we do? Do you have anything else?
I want
to
hear questions. I heard you had questions.
Do you have anything else that you wanted? Do you guys have anything? We had a couple questions emailed in.
What were the emails?
Yeah, let's get to that.
Yeah, questions.
Crack them open, Maddie.
We got a couple questions.
I'm sure there's a sound effect for checking emails.
No, I'm not doing any more sound effects. You put out the flame.
Questions.
I'm done trying to have fun.
Matt Backus, answers.
Are you worried about Donald Trump's China tariffs and the effect they will have on the market? You guys worried about this at all? I mean, I feel like the market's been struggling for the last couple of
months. I'm worried anytime the name Donald Trump comes up.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my goodness.
There's a guy on
go watch more Roseanne, you yeah. son of a bitch.
I'm a conservative now.
he watches Roseanne, he has a Make America Great Again hat on.
Dude, there's a guy I follow on Instagram, so he's like, I went to college with one of his friends, and we've met a bunch of times, but he sells steel. Like, his job is to sell steel. Mm-hmm. He, like, whatever. He works for one of those companies.
Ooh, what are his thoughts?
He's, like, freaking out about it. He's like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to trade steel because of these tariffs. And then he posts these, like, long Instagram stories that I don't understand, like, basically talking about the price of steel and how it affects what he does.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, one, who is reading this? But, like, two, like...
Steel people.
I guess maybe he has people. Maybe he has a lot of people who follow him that, like, are steel heads. Or
I'm
whatever.
A big steel head. Steel
heads.
I thought this was the Steeler football team.
They're called heavy metal fans.
Yeah.
But now, apparently, I guess he's not as concerned about it. But, yeah. I guess, what, it's a tariff on imports, right? From China and stuff?
It's just trade wars.
Trade, yeah. It's just, like, very antiquated trade wars. And also, like, people worry about that stuff, but... trade, like, in terms of, like, our national health and our GDP is, like, such a small percentage of our GDP. Most of it comes from, like, us buying stuff. That's, yeah. like, what contributes to whatever our...
Well, and I heard, like, this has been a long thing coming. Like, China's been getting a pretty good deal off of us, and we've been, like, it hasn't gotten that bad. And I think
Even
though Obama's economic advisor was like, this has been on its way, we've been having to deal with China.
Yeah, and
Gary said that? Yeah. That's just a shot in the dark. If I was right, I would have looked incredibly intelligent.
What?
But I don't think, yeah, it may rattle us for a minute, but I don't think anything big's going to happen.
Yeah, it doesn't. I don't care.
And then we got another email. This is very similar, but are Chinese tariffs going to affect hogs? I was thinking about getting into the pig business.
Oh, hogs. Yeah. Dang, yo.
Talking hogs?
Talking hog talk. Welcome hog to hog talk.
Hog talk. Hog talk. Hog talk.
Sorry, baby, this never happens. These Chinese tariffs are really fucking with my hog.
Yeah. Donald Trump will get the Chinese.
Yeah.
The Chinese got me stressed out.
Yeah, what if he... he didn't mean pigs. What if he was just talking about he just has like stashes of penises in his house.
Yeah, that's
how am I gonna unload these hogs?
That's a Seeking Alpha reader.
It's
right
only
there.
Big penises too. Nobody calls a tiny penis a hog.
I don't know. Tariffs on, I guess, sure. I don't know.
And nuts. Hogs and nuts.
What?
Pistachios?
Well, no, it is, he's talking motorcycles, right?
He's talking motorcycles, yeah.
Oh, maybe.
That's Harley Davidson.
Yeah, we brought that up before. That with not so much China, but it was the was other European countries that were going to.
No, it's not talking about. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. It says it is pigs. It says the next line is I was thinking about getting into the pig business.
Hey, he's joking. HOG is Harley Davidson's.
I think they mean hogs.
Well, I guess
no, it is. It's HOG.
I know.
I think it would work either, with China. It would be pigs because we're dealing with a lot of pork tariffs.
Yeah.
I think with
I'll give you a pork tariff.
I ordered pork fried rice the other night. Prices shot up.
We were talking before when this started that Harley Davidson is. Where is Harley Davidson made? It's
in the United States.
Yeah.
In America.
Right, but then with the trade wars that we were going to tax Harley Davidson's going to European countries.
Basically,
all manufacturing it's like very cyclical. Some of it comes back, some of it doesn't. It's obviously like way worse than it was like 30 or 40 years ago here. Like manufacturing is almost like a dead industry. And even if they bring stuff back, it'll always be a dead industry. So none of these things are like going to like cause something like the 2008 financial crisis where like
you
basically
say that,
so
but
much,
cut to 5 years.
Yeah,
from now,
exactly.
We're playing this on a loudspeaker in the apocalypse.
Good Lord, yeah. Oh my God.
While we march you through the streets.
We should know more about the Fed, though. That's what I shouldn't do more research on that.
I don't know anything about
you
the
should?
Fed.
I should.
Oh, you should.
The
Fed. I should.
Yeah, there's something going on there, dude.
Yeah.
Conspiracy theories.
Uh-huh.
Oh, you think about getting into the hog business? I say you're good.
What do you guys?
Good about getting into the hog
you guys
business?
I say get into the hog business.
What are you guys investing in? What do you guys?
Tesla's stressing me out.
Oh yeah.
Tesla's got a bunch of issues. They recalled a bunch of their cars and. They're still not really making a ton of money. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. So they were like, yeah.
Tesla's a big part of my portfolio.
Ah.
I got some gold still.
I lost a lot of money. I did fine, but like I invested in GE at like 15. I bought it at like $15 a share, and then it went up to like 30,
and
I didn't
got
sell.
Out.
No, I didn't sell, and I sold it at like 20 or something.
Oh, well, still. That's
what made
mine. Now.
Yeah.
GE's dying.
There's my best thing I ever did was there is this company. It's called like McGraw-Hill. They like make their textbooks.
Yeah,
or whatever,
yeah.
Right?
McGraw-Hill Company.
So they had. I couldn't even tell you what the scandal was. They had some scandal, McGraw-Hill, because they bought S&P, right? So they bought S&P, and S&P had all these like residual like lawsuits from the 2008 crisis because all these rating agencies were being blamed for the financial crisis, rightly.
Quite rightly.
Yeah, quite rightly. Something happened, and their price dipped by like 15%, and I was like. This thing is going to go away in like 2 weeks. And I bought it at like $40 a share. And I bought like I don't know, whatever, like five or six. And then now it's at like 150.
Five or 6,000?
No, oh, five God. Or six shares. and now it's at like freaking like $110 a share. And I'm just like, yeah. No matter, even if it
you
like.
Gotta, I mean, we, unfortunately, we have to wrap up. And,
yeah,
but
no, no.
You've got a couple good stories like that. Or not good stories, but you've got a couple stories like
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah. This be, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You're like the king of just missing it.
No, no. This one I did great. But then the other one, yeah, the Facebook thing. Oh, man.
Yeah. Damn, I wish. I mean,
no,
yeah, we'll have
okay.
you back on.
Yeah.
This is a great episode.
Oh, I agree.
I thought so. I had a good time. You guys got anything you want to. Rohan, you can go first. Do you have anything you want to plug? Do you have
plug?
Any shows or anything?
I'm going to be at Lasers in the Jungle at UCB East.
That's a good show.
Yeah, it's a great show on April 19th, so you should come to that.
And you got a website or anything?
You can follow me on Twitter. I just changed my Twitter handle. I think it's. I'm going to find it. I forgot what it was. I'm so.
You're so crazy.
I'm so crazy. I am Rohan Cool Guy. That's my
I am Rohan
Twitter
Cool
handle.
Guy.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Eric, you got anything?
Come Sunday, you can see 2/3 of Hold My Bread. I'll be at Beauty Bar with old Jeffrey Sheen.
Ooh, nice.
I'll maybe I'll come hang out. You know,
stop by.
All of us come see me hang out, and they'll do sets.
Stop on by.
Beauty Bar, 9 o'clock on Sunday, every Sunday. Mm-hmm. It's a good show. I did it last week. Very fun.
Yeah, it is a fun show.
That's cool. Email us at holdmybread@gmail.com. Follow us on Instagram, holdmybread. As you saw, we read your email, so if you email us, we'll read them. Also, yeah. Leave us a review on iTunes. Please leave us a review. We got a couple good ones. We don't have enough. We need to get more reviews.
Yeah, rate and review.
Rate and review.
Angrily.
Yeah, rate and review.
Rate and review it, you fuckers.
Yeah. thanks for coming out onto the front porch, Dad. I'm gonna be at I'll be at UCB East on 420.
Oh, for Gentrified. Hell yeah!
Come
nice,
on,
dude.
Babies, we're gonna get stoned hell and talk about our gains. 420 UCB. Follow us on Instagram. All that good stuff. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. You got anything? That's it.
Oh, wait. Right. Wait. I got another thing to pot. I have a podcast with Kenise Mobley. It's called Love About Town. We're doing an episode on 422 as part of the Women in Comedy Festival.
422, come on.
422.
420 as well. Come on.
422. No. It's for the April 22nd. That's what it is. It's not on 420. Anyway, for the Women in Comedy Festival. So if you live in Boston and you're listening to it, come out.
Only if you're a woman.
Only for women at the Rockwell, 5 p.m., April 22nd.
Cool. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.
All right. Rate and review.
Rate and review.